Hello and welcome to the fourth episode of Jagged White Clans, our culture apart from King Ross podcast. In episode 4, I'm chatting with Dr. Mickey Small about the Culloden Letters. Now, this is a really interesting family story that features quite prominently in the exhibition. So, Nicky, with this in mind, can you tell us a little bit more about these letters that we have?
Well, we're delighted to have this collection of letters in the exhibition, very rarely seen, and a lovely story that goes with them. It's tragic, but it's one of those real family stories which we hope the exhibition is really going to explore in great detail. In the last episode, I talked about the burning of Strathearn, and I mentioned a man called Murray of Dollery.
Yeah.
This is Anthony Murray of Dollery. It's a really ancient family, and the Murrays are kind of related all through from the great Murrays of Athol, Murray of Ochtertyre, Murray of Dollery. You know, these names come up, and they're all branches of a similar kind of the same family. So Murray of Dollery is in the Crieff area. They have lands, extensive lands, and marriages, Ochtertyre, all this kind of thing. And he, as I said in the last episode, was really all for Crieff. Mm-hmm. Anthony Murray of Dollery remained neutral. He bowed to both sides, apparently, as they came through the government and the Jacobite,
okay.
And didn't take either side. What's interesting is his son, who's also Anthony, young Dollery, Anthony, his son, doesn't remain neutral, and Anthony decides that in the 45 rebellion, when Bonnie Prince Charlie arrives, he's going to sign up then for the Jacobite cause.
Sure.
So the letters, there are 19 letters in a bound volume, 19. The letters start with a letter from young Anthony to his father, old Dollery, saying it's his intention to join Charles Edward Stuart, Bonnie Prince Charlie.
Okay.
So I'm going to quote wee bits of the letter because they are lovely when you hear it in
the
words.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he says, "Sir, the extreme anxiety I have towards the prince's interest caused me to join him. Without doing myself the honour, and as I thought in duty, to have waited upon you, for which I crave pardon to you for that neglect. Indeed, I was afraid of your displeasure if I should have suggested my intention of joining the present affair that I have engaged with, and if I had not sincerely and do still think that God Almighty was with the cause." So what he's saying here is that he believes that the divine right of kings should prevail, and that Bonnie Prince Charlie is the man, and he knows that he is doing this without his father's blessing.
Mm.
So he's writing to him saying, you know, you're probably going to be unhappy about this. So this is the first letter in this correspondence, and you're waiting to see then, well, is his dad furious with him?
And this is the thing, it's that family conflict.
Absolutely.
Just seems to be coming back in, repeatedly.
So young Anthony is actually, he's born around 1700, we don't have an exact date for him.
Okay.
And he's married a woman called Margaret Murray, also Murray, another Murray, but she's from a Fife branch. She lives in Grange in Fife, and he lives with her. She was an heiress, and they live in Fife. And he marries her around 1735, and they have two children, a daughter Margaret and another son, also Anthony. It's great in family history, you always know you're on the right track. They've all got the same name. So we think he's around his mid to maybe late 30s at this point. So he's younger than his dad, you know, obviously he's a young Dollery, but he's not a young man, he's not a sort of late teens or anything like that. So, as his father said, his father kept himself aloof from all these things. He's all Dollery, but young Anthony gets involved. And we think his father probably would have preferred to have remained neutral, for the whole family to have kept out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because he has a home in Fife with his wife and a home here in Crieff, his father's home, Anthony can't live in either of these places because he'll implicate the family. So from this stage on, he is cut loose from the family. He doesn't go back to either home, but he writes to them. Mm-hmm. And what you have to bear in mind through all the letters is that Bonnie Prince Charlie's campaign is happening. He's landed, he's raised the standard, other people have joined him, he's taken Carlisle, he goes to Manchester, all these things happen. And Anthony dips in and out of this, but he doesn't remain, he's actually not well at certain points, and we believe he stays in Perth for some of the time as well. So there are letters that come back and forward, and some of them are really interesting because they give you a wee insight into what people thought. One of the letters is actually from a man called Robert Dunning, writing to Anthony's father, Old Dollery, and he's giving news from Perth. And he says, "I hope you received no damage by the prince's army, which was a most loose kind of people, and I really think acted far beyond what the prince inclined, who I took to be a discreet, pleasant youth. I seed him several times, both on foot and horseback. He made a very good appearance, seems very fit for warlike expeditions."
Mm.
So that's Robert Dunning writing to Auld Dullery in Percy. Well, this is what I think. I saw the chap, and here he is, and he looks quite fit for the battle. Mm-hmm. And that's another insight that these kind of letters give you, that you get that local idea. Mm-hmm. This is people in Percy, Bonnie Prince Charlie, you know, and what do they think of him? And I think that's quite... that probably would have cheered Antony's father up, and maybe he would have been happy enough to know that Antony was, you know, involved, and the cause did seem to be quite righteous. Antony writes to his wife Margaret, and he's keen to tell her of what's happened in one of the latest battles, which was General Cope being killed or wounded in the recent action at Preston Pans. Mm-hmm. And this is just at Edinburgh. This is another quite serious conflict. And he talks high. He talks the Highlanders up. The Highland army, after the first fire, broke in sword in hand and behaved like Scots men. So that's great. He's saying, this is our side, Margaret, and they're winning. You know, they're doing something great, you know. And he adds a wee postscript to this letter. He's written, just in case I come not home so soon as I intended. Mm. So he's, again, maybe a wee doubt there. I don't know how long this is going to take. Mm. You know, this is all over the country, it's happening, you know, things are going on. Margaret appears quite happy about her father's, her husband's situation in this. And she writes to her father-in-law, Auld Dullery, his father, and she gives him quite a bit of news. Mm. So there's quite nice letters from her as well. You see them writing back and forward. She gives a lot of detailed news as well, and she's really interested in what's going on. She stops short of saying whether she's a Jacobite, but I think we probably can guess that she probably was. Mm. But you don't mention those kinds of things in letters.
Yeah, just in case.
Yeah, absolutely. So she is just, you know, she writes back and forward to her father-in-law, gives the news and takes news. What Antony does at this time is that he puts her in charge of all his affairs. Mm. Because that's really legally important, because I think he's obviously aware that if he doesn't come back, she needs to be able to manage and handle everything that happens. So
And that's something that we kind of spoke about in a previous episode. It's like the women are kind of being now left in charge, but they're legally being left in charge of the affairs, of the lands, of the estates.
It's all,
it's quite important as well.
Really,
I mean, did Antony, did he ever go back and see his family? Or
No, I don't believe he did. He stays away the whole time, and that's actually one of the tragedies of the story. So this happens late in 45, right through. So the letters with the news were vital, and getting news from anybody that went with you. Margaret does show some of her true colours at one point, because her husband's man, his you know, factor, his man, won't go with him. And she's quite angry about this. And she says in a letter to her father-in-law, "I cannot deny my goodwill to the cause." So she does say that she's keen, for I think it just. "But at the same time, would neither advise nor wished him to go, and assures you I could not help it." So she's basically saying it's his decision to do this.
Yeah.
And that kind of keeps her safe, because obviously it's a letter, you're writing this down, quite dangerous stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So she has to keep herself neutral. "When he was going away, his man David then told him, and not till then, that he would not go, which you may believe angered him not a little. His reason was his wife would not let him, but the plain reason was cowardice."
Hmm.
So Margaret wants to sort of say, you know, but she's, you know, his wife would not let him go. Really? Does a wife have that much power? That's quite astounding. She can keep her husband at home. Margaret couldn't keep hers at home. She doesn't give it either way to say whether she could do that. But this is interesting that, you know, the young Antony's man not going with him really angers everybody, and he's made, but that's his choice too. He doesn't want to go for the Jacobite cause, so he's not having it. So there's lots of knowledge that comes. Another family connection, a Mrs. Clark, she writes to Auld Dullery around November 1745. "I shall give you what has come to my knowledge, which is that Lord John Drummond is landed with some French troops and is to be here the next night. And likewise, Duke Henry is landed in England with 60,000 men. I also had a line for this morning from Dundee telling me that there's a French ship landed there." So this again is news. Now, whether these things were true, whether this is news, whether it's speculation, but you again see that sense of excitement in the letters and actual real worry. 60,000 men are coming. You know, what are these men going to do?
Absolutely,
you know?
Like terrifying number, basically.
Absolutely. And this is Dundee and this is something else. And so she's, and an express, she says, Mrs. Clark also had the news that an express come from the prince giving an account account of Carlisle being surrendered with 8,000 stand of arms and a vast deal of money and plate and a great number of light horses, which is of great use to the Prince's army. Now, some of that's correct. I mean, that's Carlisle, the siege at Carlisle, Carlisle was taken. So some of it's correct, but whether the rest of it is true and what else happens, you know, and some of this is a bit of propaganda as well.
Fake news.
Absolutely. Fake news is nothing new. Absolutely. It's there in the letters from 1745. So what happens then is that there are other letters and less from Antony, but actually we find that in fact as the Jacobites take their fight all the way south, and then Lord George Murray, who we mentioned before, they kind of fall out and they retreat, and they don't take London as they had plan to march, and they come further and further north again. And Antony seems to join as they're heading towards the final showdown, which will be at Culloden. So that's where Antony's journey is taking him, and that's there are no more sort of surviving letters from Antony after that point. Letter 18 in the bundle is a note that Old Dullery writes himself, which outlines all the news that he's been able to gather, and it's quite tragic. It's quite long, and he writes down all the things that have happened, but he's basically been trying hard to ascertain what happened to young Antony in the battle. Did anyone see him? How did he behave? What was happening? And I'll let people read that when they come to the exhibition, because that's quite interesting too. But the very final letter is December of 1746, letter 19, 1746, and it's from somebody writing to him saying, "Knowing the anxiety you was in about your son, in case you have not heard anything of him yet, I thought it would be agreeable, though it's but a melancholy account. There's a niece of mine here just now who has seen several gentlemen who was at the Battle of Culloden, and they all agree that your son fell there, for they never heard any more." And that's the kind of conclusive postscript to this. You know, that's the last letter saying that's what happened to young Antony. And Old Dullery goes on to live to a very great age, and he brings up young Antony's son, Antony. And maybe that's one of the reasons he does live to such a ripe old age, because he feels, again, he's lost his son and he has to keep things going. But that's the breadth of the letters here, which give an insight into a family tragedy, really, losing the son and heir.
Yeah, and again, it's that tapping into those stories that we're trying to tell at this exhibition, and the fact that we're able to trace, like, what happened to one man through all these letters.
So the evidence is still there, and the evidence is on show in the exhibition, so people will be encouraged to look at the letters, read the transcriptions for themselves, and you can draw out all sorts of other things from them, and we hope people will have their own take on some of these aspects. But for me, it's a wonderful story of a tragic family affair, and yet there's hope, and there's anxiety, there's all sorts. All human life is in this, and I think that's what's really important.
Yeah, that's what makes it such an interesting story. Okay, so Jacobite Clans is open just now, and is open until the 19th of October at Perth Museum and Art Gallery. Admission is free, and we hope to see you there.